We're looking at who was I, who am I, and who can I be? And today we're looking at the fact that we have been recreated. We're a new creation. Last week we looked at being in Christ. And if you remember, I talked about what that looked like for us, and that if this piece of paper is us, and there wasn't a significance in using the Bible, it's just the book I have to hand. And I put that piece of paper in the book. And so now whatever happens to the book happens to the piece of paper, because it is inside the book. We are in Christ. Whatever Christ carries, we carry. Whatever in terms of blessing and the sonship, and we get all of that because we are in Christ. We get all the blessings that Jesus gets as the Son of the living God. It's amazing. So that's what we looked at last week. And this week it's sort of taking that a step further and saying, well, looking at 2 Corinthians 5:17, don't need to look this one up particularly, but it says, if anyone is in Christ, so we looked at, well, that's us, we are in Christ, then he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The problem is, though, is our day-to-day life doesn't always reflect that the fact that the old has gone and the new has come. So why is that? Why is that? Well, have you ever noticed that a person's identity affects the way they behave? It affects the way they carry themselves, the way they speak. I watched a program last week called Undercover Boss. Has anybody seen Undercover Boss? Yeah? You've seen? Good. I was hoping you had. I watched one where the joint owner of a pet store chain went undercover, got a false beard. It's a really nice beard, actually. False beard. And he had his hair cut and coloured and everything, and looked completely different. What's that? It was a bloke, yes. It was a bloke, yes. I kind of assumed you, given that he got a beard. Anyway, that really would be undercover. He went and spent a day with a delivery driver. He spent a few days in different stores, some that were underperforming, because he wanted to know, well, why is this? And he went, and they pretended he was making a documentary about someone who was setting up their own business. They got away with having the TV cameras there. And it was amazing, because nobody spotted him, until at one point he's in the back of the truck shifting his pallet, and his beard just slips slightly. And he dashed off, and the delivery driver said, well, where's he gone? He's supposed to be helping me. And he's round the corner, and one of the TV crew are patching it up like this. And the guy's getting a bit suspicious, this delivery driver. And so they carry on, and the guy's asking him, the boss is asking him lots of questions. And the delivery driver in the end got really suspicious and said, who are you? Who are you really? And he had to tell him and said, look, please keep it a secret, otherwise this is going to ruin the whole of the rest of the program. Not only that, but it was a benefit to the guy. It was amazing, all the different things he spotted, which in the end weren't the fault of, I mean, this isn't relevant, but I was interested. All the failings they saw in the stores were actually a result of the decisions they made at head office. It was nothing to do with any decisions in the store. Maybe there's an illustration for another time in that. Maybe. But actually, this guy, while he put on a disguise, couldn't hide his true identity, because he carried himself like the boss. He asked questions like the boss, and he acted just that way. And so some people rumbled him. It's a fascinating process to watch. We have been more than disguised. The problem is sometimes we walk around like that boss thinking, I have my disguise, I'm a Christian. And then we're worried that that's going to slip. We're worried that we're not going to be able to maintain the disguise of Christianity, whatever our picture of that is, of respectability and doing the right thing and reading the Bible when we should and praying like we should. And we're just worried that that disguise is going to slip, that the beard of disguise is going to slip and someone's going to find us out. And we're going to be seen for who we really are. We're going to see, people are going to see, oh, do you know what? They're not what I thought they were. The thing is, if we're in Christ, we've been more than disguised. We are not walking round with a disguise. We are fundamentally changed from the inside out. And in fact, that song was talking about, God, get me from the inside out. It's a fundamental change in nature, which we'll look at, and we'll look at some of what the Bible says about that. So actually, this is not about a disguise. This is about us living out our true identity and not being worried that it's going to slip and that there's somehow some falsehood about it. But actually, this is real and who we really are. I want us to understand today that our identity, our new identity in Christ, is the real boss of our lives. And that it's that that should dictate how we are and how we act. And it's not a disguise that we're wearing. Because it hasn't always been that way, has it? Ephesians 4, 17 to 19. I'm going to look up quite a few passages. You can look up some if you want to, but I'll read them out. Ephesians 4, 17 to 19 says this. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. That's who we are if we don't have Christ. We are not in Christ. We don't know him. That's not yet our identity. For most of us, that's the way we used to be. That's the way we used to be. And some of the things might have looked like that in our lives. That's what governed our attitudes to life and everything around us, was that old identity. But Paul says here, you must no longer live that way. He's telling us that you don't live that way anymore, because that's not now who you are, because your identity has been changed. And this isn't a command. This is a statement of fact. If you are a Christian, then your position right now, irrespective of your condition, your position right now is in Christ with a new identity. Whether you feel like it or not at times, that is who you are. You're no longer the person you used to be. Your identity has been changed by Jesus. You are a new creation. To be without Christ is a desperate position. It says there that we're separated from a life of God. We looked at it last week. We looked about it being a dark place, that the human condition is depraved and hopeless, which is why we needed to be recreated, because we were dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead, finished, hopeless. And you know what? A dead person can't make a change to themselves. They can't. They need something from outside of themselves, and that is why we need Jesus. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, everybody's done it. Everybody's been born into it, physically alive, but spiritually dead. And that manifests itself in all sorts of ways. Incapable of doing what's right. We're naturally drawn to darkness and sin without Christ. John 3:19, the light has come into the world and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. There was no desire for what's right. There was no desire for pleasing God. That's the old nature before the new creation. Again, another verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Have you ever talked to someone and argued with them or discussed something with them, and you think, I put that so well, they will get what I'm saying. There is no doubt, but they just don't see it. And you think, how did you not see that? That was a superb argument, but you just don't. Have you ever discussed something with people like that? Well, actually, the Bible's, that's the kind of thing, that situation the Bible's talking about there. Unbelievers' minds are blinded. They need an intervention of Jesus. And Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Biblically, the heart is at the centre of all that we are, all that we do. It's that inner person, the place from which all motivation and emotion and purpose spring. That's what the Bible means by the heart. But it makes sense naturally too, because physically, if your heart is diseased and dead, your body's dead, the rest of you's dead. And there's no resuscitation possible. We need a new heart. We need to be a new creation. And in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 36, there are a couple of verses where hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came, this was said: "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Jesus gives us a new heart, a new fundamental nature, a new part of us that governs the rest of us. That's what he does for us. He changes us from the inside out. But that new heart has got a completely different outlook on life, a new disposition. It's not hard and resistant. He tells us there in Ezekiel, it's soft and responsive. Previously, we were motivated to sin. But now with the new heart, we're motivated to follow Jesus. This is where our new identity comes from. The new person who's been born again with the new nature. This is our new identity. We've been recreated. And it means a total change. They're obvious and provable results that we get when we turn to Jesus. Because our motivation, the very core of who we are, is completely different. Our desires are different. It doesn't mean we get everything right. But it means that when we do get things wrong, we actually don't like it. Because fundamentally we've changed. We're not happy to carry on in that vein, in getting things wrong, in terms of not following Jesus. We don't like that because we've been changed. That heart has been changed. And so that's proof, if you like. When you go, "Oh, why do I do that? I didn't want to do that." That's proof that your heart's changed because your motivation's different. So while we get things wrong, if your response is, "Oh, I wish I hadn't done that," that's a good thing. Because it's that new heart that Jesus put in you, responding to him, being sensitive to him. We want to change. That new heart means we want to change. We want to be more like Jesus. That desire to be like him is increased and increased and increased. It's a great thing. It's a good thing. Our attitude to the church changes. We have a love for God's people. We're all really different, aren't we? And I don't know about you, but when I'm with a group of people, I look around and think, what brought me to this group of people? Is it because we're all very similar and we all get on naturally with each other? Well, in this setting, no, probably not. You don't all like the things I like. I don't like all the things that you like. That some people here. If we were at school together, okay, let's imagine we were, I'm making this up now as I go on, okay. We are in a school together. So imagine this is an assembly and we're doing assembly. Some of us have got to think further back than others to remember what that's like. We're all in assembly. The person you're sitting next to now, if you were at school, would that be the person you'd have chosen to sit next to at school? If you're sitting next to husbands, wives, girlfriends, fiancés, maybe don't answer that one out loud, okay? Just a thought, just a thought. But we don't, do we? But because Jesus has changed us and given us a new heart, what do we look at within one another? We look at that common bond of Jesus has changed us and we're all on a mission together. We're all going together. We're all part of his church. We're all loved by him. We're all recreated by him. That overrides any personal preferences. Now, it may be that some people here you hang out with more than others. That's okay. That's normal. But actually, we're all together. We're bonded together by what Jesus has done in us. It's actually about looking at others and not just looking at ourselves. We start to love what Jesus loves and hate what he hates. We get a concern for the lost, the broken, the destitute. He increases our sense of compassion for others, a love for people, a hatred of injustice, no longer being so self-obsessed. And other people, especially for those who have come to know Jesus as adults, you know, when you're adults, and so there's a real change, people will notice that change. People will see that change within you. It's evidence of a life lived at peace with God. Is that your experience, though? Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you haven't come to that point. Actually, let me encourage you. It's the best thing you'll ever do when God takes out the heart of stone and puts in the heart of flesh, as the Bible describes it, as he changes us, as he makes us new, as all the desires we had before get changed to desires for pleasing Jesus. But we know that this is an ongoing work, that he is changing us piece by piece by piece. In Ephesians 4:20-25, this is part of the New Testament, and it says this. This is Paul writing to the churches in Ephesus in the book of Ephesians. And he says this, "But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another." Now, I can't unpack those verses in detail, all of them, right now, but basically this is saying that there is an ongoing process here of Jesus changing us and of us saying, putting off the old, so saying, "I am no longer that, but I am this," and putting on the new. And there's a conscious decision that we make daily. So there's ongoing teaching and learning. We need to learn about who we are. And there's that ongoing decision to put off the old and put on the new. And we've got a lot to learn about our new identity. Even if we've been Christians a long time, we need to learn about this new identity and be reminded of it, because it's so different to the old one. It says in those verses we just read, we can see that our new identity is a new way of life. It's about what we learn and know about Jesus. We're to be like him. We're to do his works, grow in the attitudes of Christ. So this isn't a list of rules that it's putting out here, but actually it's almost like an instruction manual for the new identity that we already have. I have a telephone here. Now, those of you who know me know I like gadgets and things like that, so I know how to use this. But actually, whether I know how to use this or not doesn't change what this is. This is a telephone. Okay, it does more than that, but this is a phone. So if I get it wrong and don't use this for what it's intended, it doesn't change what it is. It's still a phone. If I make mistakes with it, that's my error, not its error. It's still a phone. Its identity doesn't change. So what I'm talking about here is not do this, do this, and do this, and that's then who you are. It's no, this is who you are, so therefore learn how to function in what you are. So this is about your position and your condition. So your position is you are in Christ. That is fact, just like this is a phone. Fact. Nothing changes it. I could bolt some wheels on it and push it along and say, "No, it's a car." No, it's not. It is a phone, no matter what I do with it. And so you, if you're a Christian, are in Christ. You have been recreated. You're a new creation. That is who you are, almost irrespective of what you do with that. But as we're made new and God puts in us a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, what he does is he gives us the desire to learn how to use this new identity, how to get the most from this identity, how to grow in this new identity. The Spirit works, the Holy Spirit, he works in our hearts, convicting, convincing, and conforming us into the identity of Jesus. Our new self is found completely in Jesus. It's all about him. We're already in Christ, and now we're learning to be like Christ. And we have to make ongoing decisions to put off the old and put on the new. And that is a lifetime of saying, no, I will do this. I will do this. I will live in the good of my new identity, of being recreated. And so Paul, in that passage in Ephesians, talks about that old self and new self, putting on and putting off. But Paul's not really talking about things here. He's not saying, well, put off lying and put on telling the truth. He's talking about a whole person here. He's saying, put on the whole person of being in Christ and put off the old. He's not saying, again, do this and do that and do the other. He's saying, put on this new identity, the whole identity. We're to put on that person with the accompanying attributes, either of sin or righteousness, the old man and the new man, the old creation, the old and the new creation. The thing is, Jesus did this for us. We could never do this ourselves. The old has been crucified. Galatians chapter 5 verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Have crucified it, have put it to death. But actually, again, that's an ongoing thing. We daily put to death any part of that old nature that rears its head and says, actually, look, I'm back. And you say, well, no, because that's not who I am anymore. I've had a number of discussions, and it's great fun talking about being a sinner and being a saint. Because I heard someone say, I'm a sinner, but God's got me. And I know I've had debates with people, and we've had various debates and differed in some of these things. But actually, I stand here and say, you know what, I'm not a sinner. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm fundamentally different. But that doesn't mean I don't sin. It just means that's not my fundamental nature anymore. The Bible calls me a saint, calls you a saint, calls us a royal priesthood. Why? Because Jesus has changed us. Jesus has made us new. But we still get things wrong. But I no longer define myself by my old nature. I define myself by my new nature, which is in Christ, as a saint, as a follower of him. But I get things wrong. I still get things wrong. Of course I do. I sin. But I don't want to. My motivation is different. My whole being is different because I don't want to do that. And it's a good thing to think on. It's a good thing to think on. In terms of who you are. Who do you fundamentally describe yourself as? Well, I'm God's. I'm his. He's changed me. But you know, this is our position by faith. There's a lot of faith involved for some of us. There's a lot of faith involved to say, yeah, I am a saint. I am belonging to him. I am a new creation. Because some days that's easier to believe for me than others. I'm sure you have the same experience. But again, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, this is about our position, not our condition. So our position is in Christ, even though sometimes our condition is one of sinning. The thing is, we get very preoccupied with our condition, the things we do. But you know what? Our condition is God's lookout, because our position is in him. our condition is God's responsibility. It's God's responsibility, not ours. Now you might say, well, but what about my condition? I get things wrong. I do bad things. I've got to put it right. Okay, so you've got to put it right. When was the last time you managed to save yourself from sin? When you put it that way, you think, well, that's not my job. That's the job that Jesus did. It's Jesus that changes our condition. Why? Because our position is in Christ. Because he has changed who we are. I like this. This is good. It does matter that we get things wrong because we don't want to do that. But if we get clear on who we are, if we get clear on our position in Christ, then we will turn to Jesus and say, please change me. We won't try and change ourselves because we can't change ourselves. And have you noticed that as we become preoccupied with our condition, it all becomes very inward-looking, very self-centered. We pray about ourselves, we agonize over our sin, our failings, and it just all becomes about us and doesn't become about Jesus. Bill Johnson, you may have heard of him, leads a big church in the States. He said, after many years of trying to do what only he could do, I discovered I was not the Holy Spirit. I cannot convict and deliver myself of sin. But we often act as though we can. But the Bible clearly teaches that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and then we turn to Jesus and ask him to change us. We can't change ourselves. If we could, there'd be no need for Jesus to die on the cross. And the gospel is that Jesus died for us so that he changes our condition. What we need to do is stand on our position and say, I belong to Jesus. I am his. He's changed me. I'm a new creation. I'm in Christ. But we're in a battle, aren't we? And the devil constantly tries to undermine our view of our position. He constantly tells us, you're not good enough. You can't do that. You can't be that. Look at how bad you are. You see how he turns us to look at our condition. So it takes our eyes off our position. And we today have to get hold of the fact that our position is secure. It's in Christ. He's changed us. He's made us a new creation. He's put in us a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. Do you know what? There is no verse in the Bible that says, but he's keeping hold of your heart stone, and if you misbehave, he'll put it back again. It doesn't say that, does it? What heart surgeon, when they're doing a transplant, says, there's your new heart. I'm going to keep the old one, because if you misbehave, I might just come and put it back in, you know? It doesn't do that. Nor does our Heavenly Father. Our heart is changed, and we need to stand on our identity, on who we are as a new creation. You see, I haven't said a lot this afternoon. I've just said the same thing in lots of different ways because I want us to know this. I want us to get hold of this because this will change us. It will transform us. It'll transform our communities. It'll transform those around us. And why? Well, because of this. Ephesians 4, 25 to 32. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labour doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. How do we do that? We understand who we are. We understand who we are. And we say, do you know what? I'm not finished yet. I'm sure you used to be able to get a t-shirt or something like that that said I'm something about not being finished yet. Because I'm made new, but I'm still being transformed. My position is secure. My position is safe. My position is eternal. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says. Fantastic. It's done. But in the meantime, God's going to change all the bits that need changing. He's going to change my condition. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Are you a new creation? Have you been born again? Often that phrase gets bandied around, born again. But think about it. Born again. What does that mean? It means something new, something changed, something transformed, something different. Rebirth. That phrase is there for a reason. Dramatic. And it's the offer that Jesus makes to all of us, that you can be born again. You can be in Christ. You can start all over again. Have a new heart, new identity. When I like reading books, thrillers, that kind of thing. And, someone in a gang, he goes to the police and he says, look, I'll tell you all about the gang, but I want immunity. I want protection. I want a new identity so that the old stuff can be gone. That's what Jesus has done. He's given us a new identity. So the old stuff has been left behind. It's a new identity. New passport photo. Oh, how we long for new passport photos when we see the old one. But it's all new. And it's in Christ. It doesn't mean, though, that everything's renewed. The picture of being born again is a really good one. Because actually a baby is born again. They're brand new. And they are in that family. And they always will be. Whether they like it or not. They're there. But then they've got things to learn. Ways to change. Ways to grow. And the same is true for us. But it's so important for us, and as I wrap up, it's so important for us to understand, and I think I've emphasized it, that we have that new identity. The old has gone. The Bible does not say the old's kind of on the way out. The old is, well, it's gone, but it's just behind you lurking. It doesn't say that. It says the old has gone. It's gone. And the new has come. And now you are in Christ. You are there. That is who you are. That's how you're defined from heaven, from God himself. I don't know how else to emphasize it. It's who you are. It's who I am. But you know, too often we don't live that way. We don't understand that. We don't see it. We don't carry it. So like a boss in undercover, in that undercover boss, he walks in. You can tell he's the boss. Look at the way he walks into the place. Do you walk like that? Do you walk with your new identity? Do you walk in it? Do people know it? Come on, I've got a new identity. I'm going to walk like it. I'm going to talk like it. I'm going to show it. I'm going to be it because I am it. And I wonder whether there are many of us who actually need to turn to Jesus, maybe even now, and say, I'm sorry, because I haven't lived that way. I haven't been that. I haven't taken that on board. I need to change. I need to repent. I need to move away from the way I have been acting, the way what I have been doing, and say, no, I'm going to believe this. I'm going to put on the new man and get rid of the old. And I want to encourage you, if you feel that you need to do that. And in a moment, just for a couple of minutes, we're going to spend some time in quiet and I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. At the end of the program of Undercover Boss, they have an unveiling, and he takes off the disguise and he shows the people who he really is. And the identity returns to normal. Do you know what? The old life that you lived, you don't need to wear that identity anymore. If you've been wearing that identity, then today you can put it off and you can get rid of it for good, because you've got a new identity. You're not in disguise. This is the real you. And so if you've been wearing the old identity, if you've been living with that, what the Bible calls the old man, and not putting on the new man, we need to get before God and say, I'm sorry. Because Jesus was nailed to the cross so that you didn't have to wear that old identity. And we don't want to get before Jesus and say, you did all that for me, and yet I persisted in just wearing the old identity. That was too big a price. I'm going to wear the new identity, and I'm going to wear it with pride. Because you know, the Bible talks about boasting in the cross, boasting. Paul talks about, oh, boast in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So we can actually legitimately say, look, this is Jesus. Look what he's done for me. So what I want to do now is I want to give you opportunity to do that where you are in your seat. If you've been wearing your old identity, I want you to apologize to God for it. I want you to say to God, God, I am sorry that I have been putting on my old identity. I haven't been living in the good of the new identity. Help me live in that right identity. Help me to put it on day after day after day, the new identity, to believe it. Some days it's just a case of telling yourself, I'm new creation, new identity. I'm going to live it. And the Holy Spirit will come and will enable you, because he gives you the strength to do it. This is not about striving and doing it in our own strength. This is about the Holy Spirit coming and saying, I will do it in you. I will give you the strength. But we need to give up that old identity. Because it's not who we are. It's not who we are. So let's spend a few moments now in quiet before God. Let's confess. Let's repent of carrying around our old identity. And then once we've done that for a moment, we'll close.